Join us as Pastor Ron Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll teaches us how to strengthen our relationship with God through His Holy Word.
Isn't God good? This morning I'd like for you to turn with me to Romans. Romans chapter 11. And we're going to read, beginning at verse 33, Romans chapter 11. Begin at verse 33, and we are going to read to the third verse of chapter 12, Romans chapter 11, verse 33. This morning, if we were to put a title to the sermon, we would call it Worship with Your Whole Life. Worship with Your Whole Life. Now, we did some discussions on this a while back, but I want to take it a little bit further, and hopefully, if time will allow, we will spend a couple of weeks here. Whenever we look at this, and we see this in the scriptures, the first thing that we understand about this is that this is the verse 33 to verse 36, as Brother Joel would say, this is a doxology. It would be the form of a psalm. Notice where he said, oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. That's beautiful, isn't it? Then we take time to sit down and read God's Word. I mean, it has a way of simply speaking to our hearts. And when we look at this verses, or these verses, the first thing, or the first point that we would get from this is that when we worship God with our whole heart, our whole life, we are to worship Him with our words. We praise Him through the things that we say. We bring adoration to God. We praise Him with the reverence from our hearts. When we open up and we sing praises unto our God. This morning, as we sung those songs, I like these songs that we sing. They're old hymns. They go way back in time. But if you can understand why those men penned those songs, then a lot of times you get the history behind it, you understood it, and we would all understand that they at one time had an encounter with God in some special way, and as a result of that, the Spirit of God moved them to write these things for you and me to sing our praise and adoration unto God through our words. You ever listen to what people say around you? How they praise God through the things that they say and by the things that they proclaim about God. I have seen guys at work. People are very silent sometimes, but whenever they begin to talk about Jesus, those things excite me, don't they? You, whenever you hear the name of Jesus, I've told you in the past that whenever I hear people talking, and they might be talking about a lot of different things, but whenever they say the name of Jesus, I stop to listen. Because that's a word of praise about the God that you and I serve and worship. So we praise God, or we worship God through the things that we say, and through our songs, through quoting verses, or whatever it might be. The second thing yet that we see is that we live and we praise God, or we worship God through a life that is surrendered to Him. A life and action, the thing that we do. Notice what verse 1 says. I beseech you, therefore, of chapter 12, says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, note what he says to do, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, how do you do that? How do we prove this, that God is good? How do we prove that God is acceptable and the perfect will of God is by living a life that is surrendered to God? I know most of you quote Romans chapter 10. There it says that if you will believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and then confess with your mouth that God has raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. And what he's actually saying there is this. Number one is that you have a life that is surrendered to God in the heart, meaning you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And as you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then your mouth proclaims what you believe in your heart. Now here's the problem sometimes. And this is the thing that I think a lot of people do in dealing with this, is that they have a doctrine about the scriptures of God or the Bible. They have an understanding about it, but they have no living proof within them that these things are true in their own life. For instance, we were talking years back, I remember some of our classes talked about things that we memorize from God's Word, verses that we memorize from God's Word. And as we memorize those verses from God's Word, they can become a doctrine. How many of you have believed? Things that you believe, that's your doctrine. And we can quote those scriptures really good. Man, I know a lot of us in this room can do that. We've memorized God's Word. A lot of people in the world have memorized God's Word. But the thing of it is a lot of times we memorize God's Word, we have a doctrine, but that as a result of memorizing God's Word and knowing what God's Word says, we don't have it in our heart where it produces action in our life. And Paul is saying to us in the writing of Romans, he said, not only do I want you to know what God's Word is, but I want it to produce something in your life where it becomes an action, where people begin to see it. And then in verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Otherwise, we have doctrine, we understand God's word, we receive revelation, and as a result of receiving revelation, it produces life. And not only does it produce life, but it produces morality in our life, and the people will see it in the world around us as we surrender our lives and worship God. This is good stuff. This is God's Word. And this is what God will do. But Paul says to you and me that there's something that we have to do first. And that is that we have to offer ourselves up to God as a living sacrifice. Coming into the presence of God and saying, God, use me. God, I'm going to speak for you. I'm going to live a life that is surrendered to you, and I want you to be glorified through everything I do and say, that people will be able to see you in me and living in me and then glorify you. Isn't that what Matthew said? Where he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and you do God's calling, and as you do those things, it brings glory to God. Otherwise, it points people to God. Words, through songs, or through just sharing scripture. How many of you are singers this morning? How many of you go around singing sometimes, wherever you might be? How many think you sing in the shower? That's maybe heavy bad voices, isn't it? In the shower. Sometimes if I'm in the shower, I'm singing. I think I sing just about wherever I go. Sometimes people think that there's something wrong with me. Because I always, I mean, It's the joy that's in the person's heart that becomes alive, and as a result of that life, people see it and they want to know who God is. Notice what he says there. Be not conformed to the world, in verse 2, but be you transformed. Transformed means that you've been brought out of something, not just the teaching of something, but you've been taken out of something and placed into something because of something that you have heard. Transformed, you've crossed over. Remember the old life? No longer alive. Dead to that, alive unto God. Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will God, a holy, it's actually a living a life that is holy, set aside for God. So whenever we look at the scripture passage here, there are several things that we can see here. It means that Paul is saying, no one, if you live a life where it's full of worship towards God, it means that you will live a life that is consecrated to God. And you've been set aside just for his purpose, and people will see God in you and through you. And then he says that with a surrendered life, people will begin to understand who God is in your life. Surrender to God to worship him. So we have two things taking place. And point number one is we worship God through the words and the things that we do. And number two is we worship God with a life that is surrendered to him. And number three, we worship God as we serve him by serving others. Remember what Jesus did to his disciples? He said, I want to teach you something. And he began to wash their feet. He said, to be servants to those around you. Look at verse 3. For I say, through the grace that is given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Let me read that again, please. For I say, Paul said, otherwise, what he's actually saying here, he's giving a call out. He said, hey, I want you to hear what I have to say here. Listen to what I'm saying, Paul's saying. Through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. What did I talk about here? Now, one, we go back to that part of you, consecrated life to God, worshiping God. It falls in the area of being humble. How many people do you know that are humble? Any humble? Hopefully, we know some humble people, amen. Hopefully, you are humble. Again, for I say to the grace given to me, every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Humility. Humble. I like that part. Humility. What does it mean? Humility. What does it mean to be humble? It means actually to be free. Free. Free to worship God. Free to be able to submit yourself to God. Free from pride. Free from arrogance. Free to just worship and know God through his word. Otherwise, as you see and understand God's word, it becomes alive in your life. Not only does it become alive in your life, but it's shown out to the world. Humility, Paul said. How do you demonstrate humility? How do you learn humility? Jesus says, or Paul says in the writings about Jesus, in Philippians chapter 2, it says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Then he describes who Jesus was and is and what Jesus did, how he humbled himself and become a man. He humbled himself. So the first thing we do is we see what it means to be humble, or we see what humility is, and then we see what humility is, we begin to allow it to be shown in our own life. And what we do then, we demonstrate it to each other within the church. And as we demonstrate it to each other in the church, it becomes more alive. And then we begin to show it to the world, and the world begins to see it. And then they bring glory to God. Humility within the church. With each other, serving one another, free to worship and be who we are. It means a state of being. Humility. Humble in the presence of God. Down to earth. You ever seen someone down to earth? That's someone who's down to earth. I think you have a lot of people in this church who are just down to earth. And we can name a lot of them. Just common people. You know what I'm saying? Just that's who they are. Because they know who God is. They proclaim God through His Word. They live a life that is surrendered to God. They are very humble. They know what humility is. They're down to earth. And you see it in their life every single day. Every Sunday morning. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Modesty. Lowliness. Having the right attitude. Demonstrating for each other. Let me read Philippians chapter 2 again. It says there in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, then he said, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having like-minded, otherwise having the same attitude, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. One thing that I learned from that verse years ago, and that is this, to have the right attitude towards the things of God. The right attitude towards God, the right attitude towards myself, the right attitude towards God's people within the church, and the right attitude towards those outside in the world. Because that's what it means, attitude or altitude. You ever seen someone who's never, just seems like they're just happy all the time, makes you mad? They just seem like they're always full of joy. There goes that Christian again. That's what they're saying. It's like life doesn't give them down. Could you imagine, just stop and think about it for a minute. Could you imagine living in the presence of Jesus every single day? Can you imagine his disciples? Notice some of the things the disciples would have said to him. Remember, they must have saw him pray a lot. And a lot of times they would look at him and say, well, definitely came to him one day and they said, listen, we've seen you pray. I'm sure I'm paraphrasing. We've seen you pray. We know how you pray. We know how you talk to God. We see it in you. Teach it to us. Help us to understand and be just like you. Can you imagine, just think about this for a minute. The world that hated him still followed him. A lot of times we Christians, I mean, I'm not saying us, but a lot of times Christianity is, the world don't want anything to do with us because of us who we think we are. Because we think we're so pious, we think we're so better than them, or whatever. And Paul says, listen, I want you to just be just like Jesus. We attract people to you. Right type of attitude. Amen? I don't know if some of you got the right attitude. You see it day to day, week after week. Why? Because God is in you. But notice again where he said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. These individuals came to know who God is. And as a result of that, it is portrayed within their life, and people around them will see it and know and come and want to know what it's all about. God is good. And God wants you and me to worship Him with our whole life. Words, using the right words. Actions, things we do, let your light so shine. People see these things in the world around them. Not only do they see it individually, but they see it corporately as a body of Christ coming together, wanting to worship. I walked into this church, and there was nobody in it this week. And I came in here, and I said, well, I think there was somebody. Joe, back there was here, Joe. And I came in, I said to him, I said, you know, this is a beautiful, beautiful church. This is a place where you just seem to walk into it, and it's just, it's almost like, man, I can be at peace here. It's a beautiful place. And God's people, now listen, it's God's people, and if we come together as God's people in this building, that portrays that attitude to those who will come in here and say to them, listen, we want you to come and worship with us. Why? Because we know God. And we surrendered our life to Him. And God has brought this attitude within us, and we want you to have that same attitude that we have. Worshiping and knowing Him. Amen? Isn't God good? God is the whole time good. Stand with me this morning to close the prayer. Father, this morning, thank you. Thank you for your presence in this room. Thank you, Father, for touching our lives, loving us, and caring. Thank you for touching us at one time in our life. We came into our hearts and you spoke to us. And you transformed us from one world completely into another. You took us from the old and brought us into the new. You took us out of the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of light. And as a result of that, we proclaim to those who are in darkness that you can do the same thing in their life. You can bring them out of darkness into light. Father, we thank you that you have called us and made us part of this ministry of reconciliation the world to you. This morning, Father, we bow humbly before you. We thank you for all that you do and for all that you've done. With this song of invitation, the altar is open to any that might be. We thank you, we love you, and praise you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You have just heard a message from Pastor Ron Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll, Ohio. If you would like more information about starting a relationship or growing in your walk with the Lord, please visit our website at www.firstbaptist.life.